The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
This is the Bloomberg Daybreak Europe podcast, available every morning on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's Thursday, the 25th of April in London. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Coming up today, Meta shares tank as Zuckerberg tries to reassure investors over the social media giant's increased spending on AI.
Mining giant BHP considers a takeover of Anglo American in what could be the biggest deal of this year.
Plus, defending TikTok on TikTok. The social media firm says it will win its fight against a possible US ban.
Let's start with a roundup of our top stories.
Shares in Meta have dropped by as much as 19% in after-hours trading after the social media giant said it plans to spend billions of dollars more than expected this year. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram says investments will increase meaningfully, with capital expenditure of up to $40 billion this year. CEO Mark Zuckerberg warned investors it could take some time for the bets to pay off.
As we're scaling CapEx and energy expenses for AI, we'll continue focusing on operating the rest of our company efficiently. But realistically, even with shifting many of our existing resources to focus on AI, we'll still grow our investment envelope meaningfully before we make much revenue from some of these new products.
Zuckerberg's comments and the news on expenditure overshadowed what was an otherwise solid first quarter for Meta. Revenue increased by 27% to $36.5 billion, with profits more than doubling to $12.4 billion.
The world's largest mining company has made a takeover bid for its UK rival, Anglo American. Anglo says that it has received an unsolicited all-share merger proposal from BHP after Bloomberg reported that the giant was considering an offer. Bloomberg's James Wilcock has more.
It could be the biggest shakeup in mining for a decade, and copper is at the heart of it. Anglo American has long been seen as an M&A target. The $34 billion company owns big South American copper operations, which are a key metal for electrification and renewable energy. It's possible that BHP's bid for Anglo could prompt other giants to make a move. Regardless, if it happens, it may be the largest M&A deal of the year. In London, James Wilcock, Bloomberg Radio.
We've got some breaking news from European banks this morning. Deutsche Bank reporting fixed income trading revenue above estimates of €2.52 billion for the first 3 months of the year. The bank also sees its 2024 investment bank revenue higher year on year, but the corporate bank revenue will be slightly lower year on year. The bank has announced plans to raise buybacks and dividends by at least 50% year on year in 2024.
And also breaking on the Bloomberg terminal, the French bank BNP Paribas has reported fixed income currencies and commodities trading revenue that missed expectations in the first quarter. That number came in at €1.6 billion versus estimates of €1.74 billion. Now, overall, the lender saw net income and revenue that came in ahead of estimates and in terms of other BNP Paribas lines, loan loss provisions significantly lower than expected.
The US has been secretly sending Ukraine its long-range army tactical missile systems, or ATACMS for short, since February. President Joe Biden signed a new aid bill to provide Ukraine $61 billion in military aid last night, which was expected to include the ordnance. However, the State Department spokesman Vedant Patel said the US leader had privately already given the green light for the ballistic missiles to be sent.
The United States provided Ukraine with long-range ATACMS at the president's direction. He quietly directed his national security team to send ATACMS to Ukraine for use inside Ukrainian sovereign territory in February. They started moving as part of the military aid package we announced on March 12th, and those missiles arrived in Ukraine this month.
The US had avoided sending the missiles Patel spoke of until now because the Biden administration considered that it would be seen as escalatory by the Kremlin. The missiles can hit targets over a range of 300 kilometres. The New York Times reports they were used for the first time in recent days to strike an airfield in Crimea.
President Biden signed a foreign aid package which includes a measure that could ban TikTok in the US by next year unless its Chinese owner ByteDance sells it. The clock is now ticking with the deadline in 270 days. Lawmakers say TikTok poses a security threat to the US and to its users because China requires its companies upon request to share any national security related data with the government. But TikTok CEO Shou Chu says that the law infringes the free speech rights of the app's 170 million monthly US users.
It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom.
CEO Shou Chu says the company will fight the US measure in court. He says that the facts and the US Constitution are on their side.
That legislation on TikTok comes as US Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in China. He says the two countries must collaborate and manage their relationship responsibly.
I think it's important to underscore the value, in fact, the necessity of direct engagement, of sustained engagement, of speaking to each other, laying out our differences, which are real, seeking to work through them, as also looking for ways to build cooperation where we can.
The US Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking in Shanghai, where he'll meet with American business leaders and students. His visit comes as a tense time for Chinese-American relations after President Biden called Beijing xenophobic and vowed to impose more tariffs on China last week. Blinken expected to discuss Chinese trade that could be strengthening Russia's industrial defense base, as well as Beijing's claims over the island of Taiwan during his trip.
Russia has vetoed a UN Security Council resolution on not deploying nuclear weapons in space. China abstained. The proposal would have reconfirmed a global commitment that dates back to 1967, which bans nuclear weapons in orbit. The vote comes just months after the US told allies that Russia could deploy a real or mock warhead into space as early as this year. The Kremlin's alleged ambition underscores what security experts and Washington say is growing competition between the US, Russia and China to develop anti-satellite weapons. Now, in a moment, we'll bring you more details about Meta's results, plus our reporting around the potential deal in the mining industry. But another story caught our eye this morning, had us all chatting. A really lovely read from our Bloomberg Opinion columnist, Howard Chua Ewan, who has been in the UK 6 years and he now wants your help, our help.
He has to pick a football team. And it's one of those things that if it is sort of an experience that speaks very well to one of those of being a foreigner in London and encountering this absolutely massive wave of social pressure when people ask you the question, who do you support? And you don't basically have an answer for them.
Yeah, look,
and then you have to sort of talk yourself around it.
Well, the column made me laugh out loud, which is just a recommendation in and of itself. You know, thinking about the footy sort of obsession, I think that actually choosing the football team and the way that Howard's gone about thinking about it actually is incredibly kind of revealing. And I think that's why people actually choose a football club in the end anyway. It kind of reveals something about people's personality and their love and passion that you might not see in another part of their life.
Look, I suppose the thought process most people don't have, because essentially they feel like they're born into some sort of dynasty.
True.
When it comes to who they support. But look, it's a great read. It's a really lovely insight into that experience. He's even asking readers of his column to email him with who they support and why. And I can't wait to see who he picks. So definitely worth a read this morning from Howard Chow on there on the Bloomberg Terminal from Bloomberg Opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Let's think about the tech space now. A disappointing set of earnings from Meta has technology investors on edge. The Facebook owner's outlook for weaker sales and higher costs has underlined questions about the impact of artificial intelligence. Meta's share price slumped 15% in after-hours trading. Amazon, Alphabet and Microsoft also slipped on the back of that. And so too did other social media companies. So it's had a widespread impact. And we get more tech results from Microsoft, Alphabet and Intel today. Joining us now is Bloomberg tech editor Vlad Savov. Vlad, great to have you on the program. Lots of reasons, it seems, why investors were unhappy with Meta, the Facebook parent company, and with Mark Zuckerberg, it seems.
Well, it's the two big priorities that he has set out for the company. It's one is the virtual reality labs, and the other one is AI. Both of them have a challenge, which is kind of different from what Meta has been to this date. When you think about digital internet companies, one of the great advantages is that profit revenues are infinitely scalable, whereas costs are really under control. What he's doing, what the company is undertaking, is a project where there's a lot of capital intensity. If you're going to build those virtual reality goggles, if you're going to do all that R&D, it's going to cost you money. And that's what we saw with the earnings. He said it's still going to cost billions of dollars. And when you read analyst notes and when you look at the investor reaction, it is questionable about what the payoff is going to be there. And then on the other side with AI, there's a lot of investment that needs to go in to compete with the likes of Amazon and Google and so on.
But this is a question that a lot of companies in this space are having, is the question about the costs of investing in AI versus the potential benefits and how they convince their investors of the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm noticing a divergence because I'm based in Hong Kong here in Asia. And one of the really fun things is just tracking the component suppliers and how they're rocketing up in terms of share price, in terms of revenue. SK Hynix, one of the leading memory makers, just reported this morning their revenue more than doubled for the first quarter, and that's because of AI demand. So the suppliers, NVIDIA, Hynix, etc., they're going up, and that isn't going to slow down anytime soon. But then their customers, the likes of Meta, they need to demonstrate that when they get all the hardware in, when they do all the development, it turns into monetizable products. Mark Zuckerberg said smart investors, he added the word smart, can see that the monetizable product is there. It's just going to take probably longer than most investors are willing to wait for that to happen. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about timescales, isn't it?
Yeah.
What of Alphabet then, and how competitive Google is in AI?
Well, this is the thing. We don't really have a great metric, so I can't tell you how competitive anybody is because there are no milestones that we can say these people achieved it and that company didn't. The interesting thing with Google is they have the Gemini product and they're installing that. They're having Android manufacturers install that by default on their phones. When the likes of Samsung or the Chinese manufacturers want to differentiate and say they have a quote-unquote AI smartphone, they use Google Gemini. What that means is as AI and AI processing moves to the mobile ecosystem and arena, Google is going to be in the lead. It's going to be the default option for many. And even Bloomberg reporting said that Apple is negotiating to put Gemini on the iPhone. So it may be the case that in a year or two, we look around and the landscape is Google is the leader just because it's the first option on smartphones.
Okay, very much something in focus as we look ahead to those results coming from Alphabet later. Vlad Savov, for now, our tech editor, thank you.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Yeah, absolutely. Very nice to speak to Vlad. Also, he's got a really great piece on the Bloomberg Terminal that you should read about. I suppose I'm not enormously surprised, but I still think that it's interesting that we've got the data, which is that most global tech leaders actually think that their companies are unprepared for AI. So there's been a lot of talk about AI. There is investment now and when that starts to pay off. But the research shows that actually a lot of IT leaders worldwide don't feel their businesses are ready yet.
I'm sure there's outside the IT sector as well feeling the same. Let's turn to our other big story this morning. And are we heading for a big shakeup in the mining industry with the price of copper soaring this year? BHP has approached rival Anglo American about a takeover. Anglo's board is reviewing what it described to Bloomberg as a merger proposal. With details, we've got Bloomberg commodities reporter Martin Ritchie with us now. Martin, what do we know about the deal that's on the table?
This is a big deal for mining, and it could be one of the biggest M&A transactions this year. It's a deal that's really, in essence, all about copper, which you've, I guess, pointed to already. BHP is one of the biggest copper miners. It's going to take over a slightly smaller rival, but not much smaller, and it's going to create the biggest global copper producer. This is at a time when All the global mining companies are sort of scouring the world, trying to get more exposure to copper. So BHP's really put its mark out there under the relatively new CEO, Mike Henry.
So that's what BHP then would gain from it. Anglo American's been seen as a takeover target for some time. So why? Why now for this deal?
It has been a takeover target for some time, partially because it's been building up its copper profile, but it's also got nickel and it's also got other assets too, iron ore, especially in Brazil, that's quite valuable. The reason why some people say it's not the people that BHP, for example, is going in now rather than earlier is because Anglo's always seen as a bit of a trickier asset to swallow. It's got a number of different commodities don't always quite match together. So it's got a diamonds business, it's got platinum group metals, it's got iron ore in South Africa, it's got in it, and all of these businesses have got sort of tangled ownership. Now, what BHP appears to be doing, according to the preliminary statement we have from Anglo, BHP hasn't said anything yet, is that they're going to spin off some of these South African businesses before they go ahead with the merger. That will simplify things. And I think that the fact they had to do that speaks to, you know, the difficulties in taking over. Other companies have been busy with their own efforts to get copper. Rio Tinto has been building its own huge mine in Mongolia, and it has indicated it might not be so interested in large-scale transactions. Glencore is trying to take over a Canadian company to try and get its copper and metals business.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.